Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. Glad to have you here worshiping our God with us today. We want to give a special welcome to visitors, family, and friends that are joining us today. I also want to welcome anyone that's worshiping with us online. Glad that you're able to join us, even if you're not physically present with us. As we get started this morning, I've got a few announcements I'm going to try to run through, and hopefully we'll keep everything straight here. So this morning, as you can see, we'll be celebrating communion, and along with communion, we'll be taking a special offering today, and that's going to be for the work of the Havlicheks and their work with Wycliffe Bible Translators. Then we've talked a little bit the past few weeks about Easter lilies. If you want to order an Easter lily, today is the deadline. So if you still want to do that and haven't done it yet, talk to Mary Van Hill, and she will get you straightened out with that. Then looking ahead to next week we are planning to have a fellowship dinner after church. So we're going to stick around and enjoy some food and time together. And so you'll see in the bulletin, we're asking everybody to bring a dish, or if you're really feeling adventurous and you want to bring more than one dish, nobody's going to complain about that. And we'll sit around and enjoy some food and each other's company. So that's next week. Then finally, I've been talking to you once in a while about we've got an invitation to participate in our denominational survey through the CRC. The deadline is coming up on the 31st. That's only about a week and a half. So if you've not filled it out and you'd like to, there's paper copies back by the mailboxes. Or you can follow this link and go online. I'm pretty sure we emailed that out a couple weeks ago. If you got any questions about surveys, let me know, and I will make up some sort of answer for you. All right. I think that's what I got for announcements today. During this season of Lent, we are approaching our worship a little bit differently. We're taking a moment of silence just to kind of quiet our hearts, try to push distractions out of our minds, and also bring ourselves and our concerns before God. So let's join in a moment of silence as we enter our time of worship. Our God has gathered us here as his people, and he invites us to worship him. Let's join together in the responsive reading for our call to worship. It's in the bulletins, and it'll be up on the screen. And please rise in body or in spirit, and let's join in this reading. People of God, let us worship God, for whom our souls thirst and our bodies long. He says, "Listen, listen to me, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. We have come to hear the word God has sent. God's word will not return empty, but will accomplish through us his holy purpose. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Then we will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will sing. The trees of the field will clap their hands." Let's join together in singing our praises to God. We'll sing, "Jesus Shall Reign." Our God greets us this morning, and he says to us, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." God's greeted us. Let's take a moment to greet one another. You may be seated. In the book of Isaiah, we read, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon." Trusting ourselves to the grace of God, let's confess our sins before God and one another. This week, once again, we're going to sing together our prayer of confession. So let's join in singing, "Just As I Am," without one plea. Hear the good news. The Sovereign Lord says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Brothers and sisters, in Christ, all of God's promises are yes. Through Christ, God cleanses, heals, and renews our hearts and minds. Thanks be to God. And so Jesus calls us to follow him, to live for him. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's join together in singing once more. We're going to sing, "Rejoice, the Lord is King." Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing.
Rejoice, the Lord is King. Rejoice, give thanks and sing.
as we bring our concerns, our prayer requests, and our praises before God in prayer, I've got one request that we should be keeping in mind. We've been praying the last couple of weeks for John Van Hill. John is making some progress. He's still kind of low on energy. He's going to have a procedure done on Friday. It's time to replace his old pacemaker. They're going to put in a new defibrillator. So we just pray that this whole surgery procedure will go well on Friday, and that John will get his energy back and be able to go about his days more freely again. So we will keep John in mind as we come together in prayer. Let's pray. God of grace and glory, in this season of Lent, this season of repentance and hope, we pray that you would help us to turn away from evil and turn toward you. We pray that your people everywhere will receive courage and strength. Lord, we think of the missionaries that we support, the Havlicheks and the Seitzmas. We pray that you would give them strength and bless their ministry. We pray for your church, who is so persecuted in so many places. We pray that you would protect our brothers and sisters who face danger because of their faith. We pray that you would enable them to be powerful witnesses to you, even in the midst of difficulty. We pray that your people everywhere would be bold in witnessing to you with all their lives. We pray that you would fill your church throughout the world with surprising compassion for the people around them. That you would help your people to be committed to holiness, to living for you, and not living according to the ways of this world. Help us to turn away from evil and turn toward you. We pray for the leaders of the nations and for all people. Lord, we continue to pray for the people of Ukraine and the terrible violence that is going on there. We pray for an end to the war and the killings. We pray for safety for those who have been trapped and under siege. We pray that you would give them relief from the horror that they are going through. We pray for those in other nations, too, who go through periods of war and violence. We think of places like Yemen and Syria and Israel and Palestine. We pray that you would bring peace. Lord, we pray for nations and peoples who are dealing with droughts and food shortages. Lord, we pray that you would show your hand and provide for their needs. We pray for our leaders. We pray that you would guide them to follow your ways, to do what is right. We pray that you would fill them with wisdom and creativity as they approach the problems that face our nations and our world. Turn them away from evil. Turn them toward you. We pray for every ministry in our community and our church's ministry in your name. Lord, we think of groups that minister right here in Lamar's. We think of Youth for Christ and the Christian Needs Center and Her Health and other organizations. We pray that you'd bless their work, that you'd bless the volunteers that serve, that you'd help them to find enough volunteers. We pray for the ministries that our church carries out. We pray for our education classes, our Sunday school, and our Bible studies. We pray for our benevolence, the giving that we do. We pray that you would help us to be growing in you. I pray that you'd help us to be blessing the people around us in good and appropriate ways. Help us to turn away from evil and turn toward you. We pray for each of us as we live among our neighbors, people whom you love. We pray that all of our lives and the things that we do each day would point others to you, that we would be filled with your joy and hope, and that others would see that and be attracted to Jesus. We pray that we would live out your justice and your mercy. We pray that in the daily work that we do each day and the jobs that you have given us, that you would bless the work of our hands, that you would help us to do our work well, to work hard and with a good attitude. We pray that in our work and in our free time that we would be drawing our neighbors to Jesus, that we would be bold to talk about Christ and what he has done for us. Help us turn away from evil and turn toward you. We pray for those of us and for those near to us who are in particular need of your help and mercy today. We think of John Van Hill and his upcoming surgery. We pray that everything would go smoothly, that you would give him peace and patience, that he'd come through well, and that he would regain strength. We pray for Mary, too, that she would give her peace during this time. We continue to pray for Jackie and for Michonne as they look forward to welcoming new babies in the coming months. We pray that you would enable them to get the rest that they need, that you would give health to them and to their children. Lord, we pray for those who just feel stressed and overwhelmed with life. We pray that you would be close to them and give them your peace and comfort. We pray for those who feel lonely. We think particularly of our members in nursing homes, Audrey and Denise and Frank. And we think of others, too, who are shut in or are distant from family. Pray that you would protect them from loneliness, that you would help them to feel belonging amongst your people. Help us to care for them. We pray, too, for those who are in the period of waiting, waiting for test results, waiting for answers about their health, waiting for what comes next in their lives. We pray that you would calm their anxiety, that you would help them to place their hope and trust in you. Protect us from evil. Help us cling to you. We pray that even now, as we worship you, your Holy Spirit will be at work, teaching us how to turn away from evil and turn toward you. Lord Jesus Christ, we hear your call to repentance. We pray for a generous outpouring of your Holy Spirit to help us resist evil in all its forms, in our individual lives and society. Help us turn toward you, eager to receive the fullness of all you promise. Through your Spirit, amen. This is the time of our worship where we get to worship God by giving of our offerings. And as I said before, our special offering this month is for the ministry of the Havlicheks with Wycliffe. While we take our offering today, we're not going to be singing. We're going to watch a video. You'll see in the bulletins that we have a handout about LifeWise Academy. This is a project that some of us churches in town are working together, thinking about getting started. There's going to be an informational meeting about LifeWise this Thursday, March 24, at 6:30, and it's going to be in the meeting room at the ice cream parlor. All that information is right on the thing in the bulletin. But just to give you an idea of what the program is all about, we'll watch this video. If you've got questions later on, come find me, and I can answer those. But let's give to God with our offerings, and we'll also watch the video.
When we gathered in my living room to really pray, how could we reach kids in our own community, we learned about LifeWise, heard it was an option, and said, let's do it.
As a former principal, I knew that there was a connection lacking in children's lives about who they were, and the gospel message is central to breathing life into who they are as individuals.
Our initial response was, like a lot of people, is that really legal? Can you really do that? And the answer is yes, you absolutely can do it. We're an example of that. We're doing it. We reached out to the LifeWise Academy folks, and they showed us the process to walk each step. And here we are with our first launch, over 100 kids. Talking about Jesus one day, and some of the other kids said, that's like a song I know, Jesus Loves Me. And I said, that's right, do you know that song? Some of the other kids said, I know that song. And my little guy that doesn't go to church didn't know that song. But we all sang it, and now that's one of his favorite songs. So he always requests to sing it on the bus when we go to and from our LifeWise classroom. He sings it so loud at the top of his lungs when he's on this bus. And he even sings it to his mom and dad, is what he told me.
Every time my son comes home from school, he always tells me what his favorite part of the day is. And he's in second grade now, but prior to that, he had always said recess or gym. But ever since he started LifeWise, I kid you not, he will get off the bus and the first thing he'll say is, Mom, I loved LifeWise today. he'll come home and he'll show us in his folder what he's worked on, and whether it's been respect or gratitude.
I am really excited about what we see happening here in New Albany. Over the last year, we've seen a group of churches come together with the commitment that they want their children in this community to learn the gospel.
All of our kids are hearing about Jesus, about the gospel. They are hearing all about this ultimate sacrifice that God paid for us to give his only son.
We have communities that are popping up all over Central Ohio, all across the state of Ohio, and all across the nation. Why not in your community as well?
It's time for our children's message, so any kids that want to come forward, now's the time. You can join me up front here, and we will talk for a little bit. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Good. I'm glad to hear it. Do you guys ever get told that you look like your mom or you look like your dad? You ever have somebody tell you that? No, never? Oh my goodness. Some people say that Lainey looks like me. Do you think that? You look at Lainey, you look at me. Do you think she looks like me? It seems like kind of a silly question, right? Because I'm a boy and she's a girl and I've got this beard and everything. But sometimes adults really like to do this. They like to look at kids and they say, well, you must belong to your mom and dad because you look like them. In our Bible story today, we're going to talk about how Jesus says that God made us in his image. God made us to be like him. So sometimes parents will say that we are the image of our parents. We look like our mom and dad. We belong to them. But we also are made to be like God. We belong to him. And so Jesus says that we belong to God. And that means that God loves us. He's made us to be like him. He's made us to be his people. And so because we are made in God's image, because we belong to him, we know that no matter what's going on, no matter what we're doing, God loves us, and he cares about us, and he wants us to be with him and to be like him. So today we're going to talk about how God loved us and how God made us to be like him and how we don't just look like our mom or our dad, but we're also made to be like God. So that's what we'll do today. Thanks for coming forward. You guys can go back to your seats. We are looking at some chapters from the book of Mark here in this season of Lent. We are looking at sort of the last public teaching that Jesus gives. We said a couple weeks ago we looked at this story where Jesus was in the temple courts. He drove out money changers and sellers, and he's declared that he had authority. And because of that, the religious leaders have decided that Jesus must die. So in these chapters, we're seeing a bunch of things where the religious leaders are trying to trap Jesus. They're trying to find ways that they can put him to death. Something that he'll say that can justify them getting rid of him. So this week we'll look at a question they bring about God and taxes, hoping that they can find some way to trap him. We'll see how Jesus responds to that and how it teaches us about how we should live for him. Now before we read God's word, let's join in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, please send us your Holy Spirit as we read your word this morning. Help us to understand what it is that you are saying to us through this passage, and help us then to live out what you teach us through the power of Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. This morning, our scripture reading comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. So you can follow along up on the screen, or you can follow along in your own Bible. Again, we're going to read Mark 12, 13 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you paid no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he said. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin and he asked them, "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And they were amazed at him. This is the word of the Lord. The Jewish religious leaders want Jesus dead. There have been conflicts throughout Jesus' ministry, for his teaching about what God wants for his people has frequently challenged the religious leaders' teaching. But things really came to a head earlier this week when Jesus entered the temple courts and cleared out the sellers and money changers the religious leaders had authorized. Looking for justification to eliminate Jesus, a group of leaders came and questioned his authority, only for Jesus to put them on the defensive and strongly hint that he is God's son. He is sent by God himself. But the leaders, though defeated once, are not giving up just yet. This time they send a group of Pharisees and Herodians in another attempt to trap Jesus in what he says. These spies come to Jesus and begin to butter him up. "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity, honest and honorable. When you teach, you don't worry about what others think. You don't pay attention to who they are or how important they are. No, no matter who you're talking to, no matter what they want to hear, you simply teach the truth according to God, what God wants. So, is it right for us to pay the tax to Caesar? According to God's law, should we pay or shouldn't we?" Now let's stop here just for a bit. We need some background to fully understand what these Pharisees and Herodians are doing. The tax that the leaders mention is a tax paid to the Roman emperor by people who aren't Roman citizens, people who have been conquered, people who have been made subjects. The Jews have been paying this particular tax for about 25 years, and most of the Jews absolutely hate it. The tax reminds them that they are subject to a pagan foreigner. They have to pay with coins, like we see on the screen, coins that are stamped with the emperor's face, coins whose writing proclaims that the emperor is divine. The whole thing sounds like idolatry to a lot of God-fearing Jews. Now, the Pharisees are super religious people. They're trying as hard as they can to keep all of God's laws, and they're pretty anti-tax. The Herodians, on the other hand, are supporters of Herod, a political official who got his authority from the emperor. So this group tends to be pretty pro-tax. The Pharisees and the Herodians really aren't friends, but they both want Jesus gone. So they've banded together here. After spouting several true and flattering statements about Jesus that they don't believe a word of, these spies spring their trap. They've given Jesus two choices. He can support paying tax to Caesar, and then the Pharisees will smear him as a traitor to his own people. Or he can oppose paying tax to Caesar, and then the Herodians will go to the Romans and charge Jesus with rebellion. The leaders are sure that they have Jesus trapped. "Why are you trying to trap me?" Jesus replies. He knows that those Pharisees and Herodians, they're not really trying to learn from him. They don't respect him. They don't care what he says at all. He knows that they're plotting his downfall. "Bring me a denarius," Jesus says, referring to the silver coin that's used to pay the tax. "Let me look at it." Once someone hands him a coin, Jesus asks, "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," everyone replies. Then Jesus gives his answer. "Give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And give back to God what belongs to God." The Pharisees, the Herodians, everyone listening to Jesus is utterly amazed at Jesus and his wisdom. Not only has Jesus avoided the trap, but he's also taught the people some pretty important truths with just a few words. Let's look a little more closely. First, despite what many of the people hoped, despite what we might hope, Jesus doesn't argue against Caesar and his tax. Jesus hasn't come to overthrow the Romans and set up a new earthly government. Echoing the thinking of the people of his day, Jesus says that coins that bear Caesar's image belong to Caesar. So it's right for people to give them back when paying their taxes. Caesar's position allows him to make laws, to impose taxes, whether or not Caesar's subjects like it. However, second, and much more importantly, Jesus makes it clear that Caesar is not God, no matter what the Roman emperors might try to claim. Elsewhere, Jesus teaches clearly that God gives government officials their authority, which means that political leaders are lower than God. In fact, political leaders are accountable to God. God is the true king, the ultimate king of everything. So taxes, respect, even obedience can rightfully belong to human emperors and governors, but there are some serious limits on what they can claim. Obedience to God always comes first for human beings. In this case, Jesus says that paying this tax does not conflict with following God. But if and when there would be a conflict, God's people must choose to listen to and obey God. And that's because of the last truth that Jesus teaches us here. The coins belong to Caesar because they bore Caesar's image. But as Scripture proclaims, God made human beings in God's own image. So all people, from Caesar down to the lowliest slave, bear God's image, and so rightfully belong to God. All people ought to give themselves and their worship and their ultimate allegiance to God alone. Caesar can have all the coins that he wants. God claims the people themselves, their hearts, their minds, their bodies, their souls. Every individual owes trust and obedience, devotion and love to God. And God is the Lord of all. So Jesus shifts the perspective of the people who come to try to trap him. Rather than focusing on Caesar and what Caesar deserves, Jesus calls his listeners to think about what God deserves. Jesus teaches that humanity belongs to God. We rightfully belong to God. He has made us to be his very own. But just like the people of Jesus' day, we too have to deal with Caesar. We interact with government and government officials. That can raise a lot of questions in our mind. So let's briefly mention a few things with respect to government, and then we'll join Jesus in shifting our focus, thinking about belonging to God. Clearly, we have to say our political systems, our governments, our politicians can try to claim too much of us. We see that in other countries where governments outlaw Christianity altogether, banning people from worshiping the true God while encouraging and even demanding that they worship false gods. Now, here in the U.S., we have freedom of worship. I can't recall any of our presidents ever claiming to be divine, but still, our nation and its leaders and our political groups can call for too much from us. They can try to claim our devotion, our unquestioning loyalty, our ultimate allegiance. When America describes itself as a liberator, a defender of freedom, a beacon of light, using almost religious language, it can come dangerously close to, and even sometimes cross the line, into claiming rights and authorities that belong only to Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, whose people is an international, a multinational church. Another thing we got to be clear about is we might think that Jesus is teaching us some kind of separation between church and state here. Like God gets some part of our lives and the government gets another, and that is not it. That is not at all what this passage means. What God teaches us in the Bible is that he has authority over everything. And the government has its proper place, but it's underneath God, and it's only in some areas of life. So what we really see through Jesus' teaching is that government and government officials can at times be an obstacle for us when it comes to giving God all that belongs to him. But that doesn't mean we can shift the blame and say, it's all the government's fault. The trouble is with us, ourselves. So often we don't want to fully give ourselves to God. We don't want to acknowledge that we rightfully belong to him. So often, so easily, we convince ourselves that it's more important to belong to a government or a job or a social group, maybe the trivia night crew or the soccer moms or the gearheads, whatever it is, rather than to belong to God. We can secretly think that we're better off giving our allegiance to our significant other, or to some personal hero, a celebrity, an entrepreneur, a rebel, or simply just giving ourselves to ourselves rather than focusing on how we belong to God. Kim isn't always so sure what she thinks about God. She strongly believes in the power of prayer, that God listens to and answers prayers. So Kim will pray for God's help when she's feeling sick, when she's taking her dad to the doctor for his heart checkup, when she's talking with one of her stressed out friends. And Kim, in general, tries to treat other people with kindness and respect. She remembers the Christian morals her parents taught her. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. Care for the least of these. Love even your enemies. And so Kim would say God isn't completely separate from her life. But the thing is, she doesn't actively think about him in her day-to-day activities. If Kim doesn't want to deal with somebody's drama, she just avoids them. If Kim wants to go out, she does. She runs into somebody that's looking for a good time, some more drinks, a fling. She'll join in the fun. If Kim gets sick of her job, she just quits, looks for another one. Kim doesn't really have thoughts about what she should do. She doesn't feel obligated to anyone, certainly not to God. Kim isn't exactly opposed to the idea of God, but she doesn't feel that she, personally, belongs to God. Jesus teaches us that we rightfully belong to God, all of us, because God made us in his image. God gave human beings life. But what we've done is we've sinned. We've turned away from God. We've rejected his good desires for us. When we sin, whether or not we're truly realizing this, we're telling God that we don't want to belong to him, that we want to be in charge. But the thing is, we should want to belong to God. We should want to live for him and give ourselves to him and be his forever because he loves us. Here's the thing. God doesn't need us. God doesn't gain a thing from us. He is absolutely perfect and complete on his own. But God loves us. He made human beings so that he could be in relationship with us, so that he could be our God and we could be his people. He loves us just because he wants to love us. He created us to enjoy his love, to love him in return. But when we sin, we make a big problem for ourselves. We make ourselves unacceptable to God. So God would have every right to just be done with all of us forever because of our sins and our rebellion. He'd be justified to just let us go and leave us all to die. But that's not what God does. Instead, God has acted to save and gather his people in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to humanity. He gave up his life for us, dying and rising again in our place so that we could live forever with God. Jesus came to rescue us, to make us belong to God in a newer and deeper sense as people God has redeemed and made his own, and saved. Those who reject God's grace in Jesus deserve and will endure eternal judgment. But God chooses and saves all kinds of sinners, moving his renewed people to receive Jesus and all of his blessings in faith. So God calls us to believe in Jesus as our Savior because only he loves unconditionally. Only he loves forever with a love that's strong enough to conquer death. God challenges us and inspires us and empowers us to give ourselves fully to Him as our Lord and our King, because this is the way that we can show Him our love in return for His great love. And as God helps us to live out what it means to truly belong to Him, He also begins to give us perspective on what we should rightfully give to things like the government. Belonging to God through Jesus brings us joy and security that nothing else can. And we get that joy and security already here and now. Fred says that he didn't want to belong to God. He kept on trying to be in the driver's seat of his life. But eventually, Fred came to a realization. He says, every time I tried to drive, I'd end up in the ditch, and I'd just get really stressed out. Fred longed to have some peace and guidance. When a local pastor invited him to come to worship, Fred was hesitant. But his wife said, yeah, let's bring the whole family and go. The church made Fred and his family feel welcome, so Fred started to keep on going to church, learning more and more about what it means to give a person's life to Jesus. Eventually, Fred ended up at a men's retreat, where he started hearing all these guys talking about what Jesus had meant in their lives, the difference that He'd made, especially about the comfort that He gave them in difficult times. Now, Fred, he wasn't sure that he was ready to make a decision, but he felt like he couldn't get out of his seat, like God was keeping him there. God was speaking to him directly. And God kept on working in Fred's heart, until He led Fred to give himself to Jesus. Fred says, when I asked Jesus into my life, I could trust that God had a plan for me. God had a future for me. And that gave me a lot of peace in my life. God showed Fred that God loved him, that God valued him. Belonging to God has given Fred joy and security that he was never able to find on his own. Brothers and sisters, no matter what we or things like the government might try to tell us, we rightfully belong to God alone. He has made us in His image. Not only that, He's acted to save and gather His people in Jesus. God calls us to the joy and security of giving ourselves fully to Him, living out our belonging to Him, because He loves us forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, we are Yours. You made us in Your image. You continue to provide for our needs. You responded to our sin and rebellion by sending Jesus to save and gather Your people. Thank You for Your great love for us. Help us to give ourselves to You in return. Fill us with faith in Jesus as our Savior. Move us to live the way that people who belong to You should live. Give us proper respect for things like the government, but most of all, give us complete devotion to You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In response to God's word, let's take some time to proclaim together what we believe. I will use part of the Belgic Confession, Article 36. Let's join together in reading what's on the screen and in your bulletins. We believe that God wants the world to be governed by laws and policies so that human lawlessness may be restrained, and that everything may be conducted in good order among human beings. Moreover, everyone, regardless of status, condition, or rank, must be subject to the government and pay taxes and hold its representatives in honor and respect and obey them in all things that are not in conflict with God's word, praying for them that the Lord may be willing to lead them in all their ways and that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all piety and decency. Let's join together in singing "We Are an Offering," for expressing that we belong to God. And let's rise in body or in spirit as we sing. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the Feast of the Lord, where Christ Jesus, our Savior, invites us to receive the benefits and blessings of his atoning death, his life-giving resurrection, and his exalted reign. At the Lord's Supper, we look back, remembering the whole story of our salvation. We look around, seeing that we are together members of the body of Christ. We look forward to the great banquet in God's coming kingdom. And we look up to our ascended Lord, who promises to feed us with his body and blood by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has prepared his table for all who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in Christ Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord, are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. Please join me in the reading. People of God, lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. With joy we praise you, gracious Father. For you have created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, who became the true Passover lamb that was sacrificed for our salvation. By his grace, we may triumph over temptation, be more fervent in prayer, and be more generous in love. Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He took upon himself the weight of our sin and carried the burden of our guilt. He shared our life in every way, and though tempted, was sinless to the end. Baptized as your own, he went willingly to his death, and by your power was raised to new life. In his dying and rising, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin, and made with us a new covenant. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. At his last supper, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again." Let's join together in prayer. Please join me after I say, "Jesus, who taught us to pray." Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So a brief word of explanation here. This month, as we celebrate communion, we're going to pass the trays down the pews. So first we'll pass out the trays of bread. When everybody has bread, then we will eat together. Similarly, then we'll pass the juice. When everybody has the juice, then we'll drink together. I'll make that really clear when it's time to eat and drink. As I said at the beginning, the Lord's Supper is for those who are sorry for their sins, believe in Jesus as their Savior, and want to live for him as their Lord. If that is you, we invite you to join us in celebrating the Lord's Supper, even if you're a member of a different church than this one. If that's not you, if that's not what you believe, if you're not a church member, then we ask that you simply just let the trays pass by you. Use the time as an opportunity to reflect on the work of Christ, as we heard about in the sermon and also in the communion form here. We come now, for all is ready. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
People of God, our Lord Jesus gives us communion to nourish us and strengthen our faith. So let us take, eat, remember, and believe the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. So also, let us take, drink, remember, and believe the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Please join me in this prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise in body or in spirit. Our Lord Jesus sends us forth to follow him. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. And know that Jesus sends us forth with his blessing and with his presence. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.